If you brought your Bible this morning, I want to talk to you not just about Christmas, but I want to talk to you. That was the first coming of Jesus. I want to talk to you about Christmas, the first coming, and how there's a lot of similarities between what happened around the first coming and his coming again. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. A lot of times at Christmas, people look back at Jesus' first coming onto the earth when he came as a baby in a manger, and the wise men came and the shepherds came and the star and the angels and all of that and so forth. And I'm all for that. Amen. I believe that's wonderful. Praise God. At least the world once a year thinks about what Jesus came to do. How many of you know, though, for us it's year-round? So I'm glad about Christmas season. I don't want not being poo-poo on all that. But there's something about, I've had his second coming on my heart for the last couple of days. And to be real honest with you, that should be no surprise, because when he called me, he said, "Go tell my people I'm coming soon." Well, he's not talking about in a manger, you know. He's talking about when Jesus comes back. So, but we're going to look at, the fact that when Jesus comes again, there's going to be around his second coming a lot of similarities like whenever he came the first time. And when I mean that, I don't mean he's coming as a baby in a manger and all of that. But we'll see what I mean as we go. There are certain things that God did at the time of Jesus' first coming. God moved by his Spirit around that coming that God did around Jesus' first coming, and that were the supernatural was used to usher in Jesus coming into the earth the first time, that we see will also be a part of Jesus coming again.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. And so there, in the same way today, just like Jesus' birth, or his first coming, was surrounded by the supernatural, and we'll look at a little bit of this, and the move of the Spirit of God in diverse ways in order to get Jesus into the earth. Just like that happened the first time, that will happen to get Jesus into the earth again. And there are several elements that stand out in my mind regarding how God moved by his Spirit, there are several elements of how people participated with that when Jesus came the first time that stand out to me as scriptural concerning how we must participate with God bringing Jesus back the second time, not as a baby in a manger, but as the catching away of the church.
Yeah. Amen.
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 And so we're going to look at some of that this morning. I'm interested not in just what God has done, although I am interested in what God has done, but I'm also interested in other words, I'm not just interested in the past. How many of you know, too many times Christians are just looking back to see what God has done in the past, and they are not necessarily aware of what time they are living in and what God is doing in our day and what to do about it. What God did for us in the past, I'm enjoying the benefits of all that. I'm enjoying the fact that Jesus came, that he paid the price, and I'm redeemed, and I put my faith in him, and all the blessings that are a part of all that. I'm enjoying that today. But there's more to just enjoying the blessings of what God did in the past. How about what he's doing in the present? Amen. The past is done. Amen. You and I weren't there. You and I couldn't be a shepherd in the field. You and I couldn't be, Mary or Joseph. You or I couldn't be a wise man or an angel to announce it, or all the supernatural all around that coming. But all that's past. But he's recruiting laborers for what he wants to do right now. And I'm in the right now. You and I have an opportunity to be, I don't know if somebody's going to understand this. You have an opportunity to be a part of something bigger than the past. You might say, what could be bigger than Jesus coming? How about him coming again to move the plan of God forward? Don't misunderstand me. Him coming again was depending on him coming the first time to set things in motion, redeem mankind, shed his blood. We all understand that. We're not minimizing anything that has happened in God. We're just saying that God's plan is progressive, and the Bible says it goes from glory to glory. Glory. There was a lot of glory when Jesus was brought into the earth the first time. When the angels announced it, the whole prairie shone with the glory of God. The Bible said the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they could see the angels. It was glorious. Praise the Lord. But the plan of God is moving forward. Whether you get in on it or not, it's moving forward. And I want to be somebody who doesn't just observe what happened. I want to be somebody that God says, I want to do something, participate with me, and be used to facilitate. I want to be one of the main actors. Whoa. I can't be an angel back there like that. I can't be one of the shepherds. I can't be Joseph or Mary or any of those. I can't be an actor back there. But what God's doing today, Lord, here am I. Here am I. So in looking at this, he's recruiting labor for what he wants to do right now. And you and I have an opportunity to be a part of something big. It's built on what God did in the past. But the second coming is even greater than his first coming. 1 Chronicles 12:32, I didn't really have you go anywhere, but that's a good place to start. 1 Chronicles 12:32. I don't know how many Christmas sermons are being preached from 1 Chronicles, but there is one here today being preached from 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 12, look at verse number 32. It's a type, actually, of people of the Spirit. It says that there were different tribes in Israel in this day, in 1 Chronicles, and each of them had certain things, equipment to help fulfill the plan of God in their day. And here's the tribe of Issachar, and it mentions in verse 32 of 1 Chronicles 12, of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times and to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. The heads of them were 200, all their brothers. So what he's saying is there was this tribe called Issachar, and here's the grace of God that was on them. They had understanding of the times. And not just that, they also knew what Israel ought to do. Because this is what time it is, so therefore we should be doing this. Now, how many of you know the Bible says, because people today might say, what time is it? And everybody says, it's Christmas time. No, not on God's calendar. Man made a holiday called Christmas. It's all fine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm not poo-pooing or anything. I'm just saying on God's calendar, it's always Christmas time on God's calendar. June 31st is, no, there is no June 31st. June 30th. June 31st too. That's Christmas too. But June 30th, it's Christmas on God's calendar. So, no, it's not time, it's not Christmas time, it is the end times.
Yes, amen.
We're living in what the Bible calls the end times. It's the time of the great outpouring of the Spirit. It's the time of the latter rain. It's the time of the great harvest of the souls of the earth. It's a time of signs, wonders, and miracles. It's a time right up here at the end to bring Jesus back. The second coming. It's time for the second coming.
Yes,
how many of you know the Bible said there'll be mockers in the last days saying, where is the sign, the sign of his coming and so forth and so on. I'm not one of those. I'm not a mocker. I'm not a doubter. I believe he's coming again. Just like the prophets prophesied from Genesis up till Malachi, even over into the Gospels. Anna and Simeon had a word from God about the Messiah. Just like all those people had a word from God. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And one day the word that they spoke was made flesh. And he showed up. just the same way. All the prophecies of the prophets of old, all the prophecies through Smith Wigglesworth, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, all the prophecies out of the Azusa Street, all the prophecies out of all these men and women, and prophets of our day, speaking about him coming again and a last great outpouring of the Spirit before he comes. All based on the prophecies of the Word, by the way. James chapter number 5 talks about the outpouring. That's all based on end times. That's all just like Jesus, prophets kept saying, he's coming. And finally he came. The same thing's happening today. The same thing's happening today. And he's coming. Ready or not, here I come. Anybody ever play hide and seek? Here he comes. So he's coming again. Whether you're ready or not, he's coming again. You can mock and scoff. But on the way up, we're going to say, I told you so. Pray through. You can still make it. Well, anyway, I'm interested in what he's doing right now. Can you see what I'm talking about? People today don't know much about times and seasons. Like Christmas time, they're all looking back. Which is fine. It's good to look back in that sense of what God has done for us and so forth. I hope you understand I'm not poo-pooing that. I just almost get sometimes disturbed at Christians who don't pay attention to what time they're living in. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but anyway, so let's look at this a little bit, because people today aren't taught much about the times and seasons in God, and they're not taught about how to participate in them. Notice this tribe knew what time it was and what Israel ought to do. When you know what time it is, you know what to do. When you know it's morning, Sunday morning, you know what to do. When it's Monday morning, you know what to do. When it's 5 o'clock Monday afternoon, you know what to do. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
When you're done eating and you're getting ready to bed, go to bed, you know what to do. Amen. Toothbrush, dental floss, I thought maybe most of you did that. Everybody know what time it is? In the Spirit. Amen. Now, as a result of people really not knowing what time it is and not what to do, they become observers of what God is doing rather than facilitators of God's plan on the earth. They're spectators, not participators. It happens all around them and they see it, but they are not participating in it. Amen. They're not laborers together with God to bring it to pass. Mary was a laborer together with God. Joseph was a laborer together with God. We'll look at what his role was. We'll see it in the Bible. The angels, they were co-laboring with the plan of God. There was much laboring with God in the book of Luke and Matthew where the story is told of Jesus being born. So we don't want to know just like Psalm 103 says, we don't want to just know the acts of God, but we want to know the way he does what he does. Because if we know the way he does what he does, we can participate and be a co-laborer together with him to bring it to pass.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. When the Lord spoke to me in a dream as a child, said, go tell my people I'm coming soon, then told me later, tell them to get ready. He was not just telling me that something is getting ready to sovereignly happen, tell people it's getting ready to happen. He was saying, help prepare a people to participate and prepare their heart to be co-laborers in bringing this to pass. James 5 makes it clear that we have a part in praying for the latter rain to come. Zechariah 10:1, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. That's the time we're in. And so our participation includes prayer, asking for the rain, calling for God's plan. Amen. He's telling me that what the will of the Father is, of course, we knew that from the scriptures, that Jesus come again. But he's also telling us that we have a part in it. He said, tell them to get ready. Well, you ever read that parable where Jesus said, blesses the man that the Lord finds so doing when he comes again? Ready doesn't just mean I'm prayed up, I'm aware, and I'm ready to go. I'm living right. That's being ready. Living right's ready. But how about bringing your supply to the work of God? That's called being ready. Not just being ready for Him to come, but actually participating in ushering it in. That's really understanding what time it is and what to do. What to do. Tell your neighbor, do. Amen. The plan of God is only fulfilled with the cooperation of His body. It's only ministered in the earth through a believing, consecrated, and obedient people. Amen. Hallelujah. We have a part in ushering in God's plan. And now, honestly, we're not waiting on Him. He's waiting on us. Jesus wasn't just telling me to prepare people to go to heaven when He returns. He's telling me He wanted me to participate in preparing a people to do their part to usher in His return. We're a new breed. We're not just ones who just sit and watch to see what's going on around us. We've been good students of those who have advanced God's plan in previous generations. And as a result, we've been prepared to be used by God to bring God's will to pass in this era. Amen. When Jesus called me to the ministry, He's telling me He wanted me to participate in watching over God's plan to pour out His Spirit in these last days. See, I've been praying about this over the last 10 years especially. What does that mean? Tell them to get ready. And these are things I'm sharing that He shared with me. I want you to participate. Tell them, I want you to participate in watching over God's plan to pour out His Spirit in these last days that ushers in the harvest and the return of Jesus. And He's wanting me to work to raise up a people who watched over God's plan with their faith and authority and prayer life.
Amen.
See, it's not just me. When He said, go tell my people I'm coming soon, I'm just one laborer. There are many last day ministers. In fact, you examine many of the modern day ministers who are on the forefront when they were called to the ministry, you'll find out a lot of them, God said something to them about Him coming again. And I want you to work for me and do some things for me. One way or another, He said it in different ways to different ones. So I'm not weird on this, thinking, you know, I'm the only one or somebody special. No, I am a laborer. A laborer. You are a laborer. Tell your neighbor, you are part of this. Hallelujah. Now, so He wanted me to participate in this in prayer and by using my faith and also to bring other people into that because God has a plan. Now, how did, there are two primary ways. Well, let me back up and say what I said a moment ago. When it comes to the first coming of Jesus, there was a lot of supernatural surrounded that. There was a lot of the miraculous. I mean, the very virgin birth, the conception without a human father, that's miraculous. Amen. I mean, and a lot of the interventions to save Jesus' life. Remember when the angel talked to Joseph? About, because he was minded to put her away thinking, I don't want to embarrass her. Here she is pregnant out of wedlock. I mean, you know, he's still natural minded. And, but to make a long story short, he basically said, I'm going to put her away. And an angel appeared to him in a dream and said, no, don't put her away. Because this is what's going to be born, is born of God, and so forth and so on. And then an angel appeared to protect Jesus. Because Herod heard about him and thought, I'm going to do away with this king that's going to take over my kingdom. Killed all the babies under 2 years, or tried to kill all the babies under 2 years old, trying to get to one. How many of you know he's after one, but he just gets everybody in on it? That's the devil for you. But anyway, an angel appeared to Joseph, said, take the child over into Egypt until I say, you know, bring him back. Joseph was a guardian of Jesus' life and a guardian of the plan of God. That was his part in it. So there's much supernatural around the birth of Jesus, and we'll look at some more of it. There was prophecies. There were the Holy Ghost coming on Mary, and she talking about what He would do. The Magnificat, I believe it's called. How the Spirit of God came on her whenever, remember, she went to see Elizabeth, and Elizabeth had conceived in her old age, and that was an angel that talked to Zechariah, John the Baptist's father. How many of you know that whole story? And whenever Mary came to greet Elizabeth, because she found out supernaturally from the angel that Elizabeth was pregnant, because Elizabeth was hiding it. You know, wearing baggy clothes and stuff. You know? And so the Bible said whenever she came, having conceived Jesus, she came to greet Elizabeth, John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb kicked. And the Bible said he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And the Bible said that the Holy Ghost came on Mary and she prophesied for about, what was it, 7 or 8 verses there, 10 verses or something. Read it in Luke 1 or Luke 2, wherever that is. But there's a whole lot of supernatural. There's prophecies, there's angels appearing, there's people being filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So the miraculous, even all the prophets prophesying before he came, before thousands of years before he came. Hallelujah. Well, what about Jesus coming again? Same things. A whole lot of supernatural. And that's prophesied. But also, God needs workers and laborers together with him, just like Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. Just like Joseph, when the angel appeared and said, do this, he said, okay, I'll do that, and I'll protect Jesus, the plan of God, in the earth, and I'll do my part. The angels did their part. The shepherds did their part. The wise men did their part. The wise men brought that gold, frankincense, and myrrh, not just so he'd smell good. That was wealth. That was money. And that paid for a 2-year trip into Egypt and come back. Some preachers preach poverty and say, well, Jesus was born into a poor family. Yeah, and as soon as he showed up, money showed up. Just as soon as he showed up, supply showed up. And he never lacked a day of his life. He had a funding following him everywhere he went. The Bible said that there was several women followed him who were wealthy, and they contributed unto his ministry out of their substance. As soon as he showed up, money showed up. Don't get religious on me and act all religious. Act like you're not interested. You are. But so there's several elements to what God did in the supernatural. And then there's a couple of things that stand out to me as to how men participated with God in this. They watched over the plan with their faith and with their prayers. Actually, Anna and Simeon are two of them. You remember them? I think that's Luke 2, whenever they brought Jesus into the temple to be circumcised and to be dedicated to God. Remember, the firstborn was to be dedicated to God. Anna and Simeon were there, and they came by the Spirit and said, this is the one, told everybody, he's the Messiah. Because God had revealed to Simeon that he would not die until his eyes saw the Messiah, saw the Christ. That's supernatural. And he supernaturally came by the Spirit in at the same time that they brought the baby Jesus in. So a whole lot of supernatural, and Anna, the same thing. But how they participated in this, the Bible said that Anna, she was of great age, and she served the plan of God by praying over the plan of God. You can read that in Luke chapter number 2. And she herself saw him and prophesied, he's the one. He's the one. Never had met Joseph, never had met Mary. Didn't know anything about the angel appearing, probably. But yet, he's the one. By the Spirit. Knew it by the Spirit. Hallelujah. So a whole lot of supernatural. So, but let's look at a couple of things. Just the how God did this. Because Jesus didn't just pop into the earth the first time he came. God foretold his coming from the book of Genesis to the book of Malachi. And like I said, even over into the Gospels. Foretold his coming. Like in Genesis, whenever Adam fell, the Bible said that God came on the scene, you know, where art thou, Adam, and all of that, you know, and Adam told God what happened. And then God pronounced the curse and so forth. And then he said to Satan, he said, because thou hast done this thing, you shall go on the belly of, you know, came in the snake, you know. Thou shalt go on thy belly, you know, in the dust of the earth. And you will bruise the one who's come. There's one coming to bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. From Genesis, God started saying, there's somebody coming. There's somebody coming. There's somebody coming. And that was throughout all the prophets. Zechariah, Malachi, Isaiah. Oh, my goodness, Isaiah. He had revelation that was amazing. Here's some things that were prophesied, that he would be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14. He would be of the seed of David. His birth would be in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. He would suffer for our sins and bear the punishment for many. They would pluck out his beard. Stripes would be laid upon his back for our healing. And over 1,000 years before Jesus came and was crucified, it was predicted that he would be crucified on a cross, in the form of his death, the way he would die. This was 1,000 years before this form of death was even used to kill a criminal. Of course, they called him a criminal, called Jesus a criminal. 1,000 years, Psalm 22, 16 through 17, gives a whole lot of details. It says not one of his bones would be broken. It said he would be rejected. His friend would betray him. The price would be for 30 pieces of silver. He would rise again from the dead, and then eventually he would rule the world. Someone said, I don't believe all that. Oh, everything else came to pass. You better get ready for him to rule the world. It's a mathematical impossibility for all the things that were said. I can't remember. I think it's 400 and some things that were prophesied before Jesus came about him, that he fulfilled every one of them. It's impossibility, mathematical impossibility for one man to fulfill all of that without God being the one who said it happened. He was going to be the one. Amen. I've said before, it's like a thumbprint in the Old Testament. When you find this person that fits all these things, he's the Messiah. Only God could know the future like that and predict all that. Amen? Amen. And then whenever the word was made flesh, it all came to pass. Amos 3:7, God said, I will do nothing unless I reveal it first to my servants, the prophets. So God has limited himself in what he does in the earth. If he's going to do something, he keeps telling somebody and tells them, say this, decree this. All through the Gospels, when Jesus was walking the earth, it said that it might be fulfilled, and Jesus would do something, and it would say that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by so-and-so the prophet. Over and over and over, especially Matthew. Hallelujah. He didn't do anything except that which was already foretold that he would do. Hallelujah. Why does God tell it ahead of time? He tells it ahead of time and tells people to say it ahead of time, because that's his thumbprint, so to speak. It's basically him saying he's the one, because nobody else can do that. No man can talk about like Jesus coming. No man could have talked about the Messiah coming with such detail without them being inspired with a knowledge that supersedes human knowledge. Amen. What are all the doubters going to do about all of that? Mathematical impossibility. I forget what the mathematical equation is. It was in the realm of impossibility. Somebody did the math on it one time. Obviously, it wasn't me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why did God keep having somebody decree it? Because he wanted somebody to believe it. Somebody to receive it. Somebody to keep claiming it and taking that back to God in prayer and saying, Father, you said. Amen. John Wesley made the statement, it seems like God is limited by our prayer life, that he can do nothing for humanity unless somebody asks him. Somebody said, well, I don't know if that's true or not. Well, read the Bible, and if you keep on reading, I could take 3 more hours and show you places in the Bible where it appears that's true. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so shall the Lord make. It looks like God, well, God, if you want to do that, if it's the time of the latter rain, why don't you just do it? If it's the time and you said you wanted to do it, why don't you just do it? It appears like God can't unless somebody asks him. Pray the Lord of the harvest, he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray. Pray. Well, if it's your harvest and you want laborers to be sent, you must, because you said pray that they be sent. So it's your harvest, you want laborers to be sent, so it must be your will. Then why don't you just do your will? It seems like God's limited by our prayer life that he can't do anything unless somebody asks him. And I could go through verse after verse after verse and show you that. Now, the question is why? It's because back in Genesis, God gave man dominion over the earth. He's leaving what happens down here up to man. And he never revoked that authority. In fact, Jesus came to give that authority back to man. Because man had lost it. Hallelujah. So God has people say, this is what I want to do. Why? So somebody can believe it and turn around and say, God, you said this. We believe you. Now, there's a whole lot of people on this planet that don't care about God's plan. But God's got a remnant, and he always has a remnant that will take what God said he wants to do and pour their heart out in prayer to God and say, Father, we need what you said to come to pass. Faith people. Faith people. I said faith people. Anna and Simeon were faith people. They saw what God wanted to do, and God said to them they wouldn't die until they saw it. And so they were taking that back to the Father, and they were claiming that in faith and in prayer. Watching over the will of the Father. Did you hear that term? Watching over the will of God. In the time they were in, they knew what time it was. They knew what time for what God wanted to do. And they were watching over that plan by their prayers and their faith. And that's what God needs in the earth today. You might not understand us faith people. But leave us alone because you're being greatly blessed by us. The plan in the earth, God's plan in the earth does not come through doubters. It doesn't come through thumb twiddlers. It doesn't come by distracted people. It comes by people who take what God said he wants to do and make claim on it. You might not understand us, but you're going to hang around because you'll be greatly blessed by us. And it's time for the latter rain. It's time for the harvest. It's time for Jesus to come back again. And we're standing in faith for it. Jesus said in Luke 18:8, I believe. I have a misprint here. I believe it's Luke 18:8, where Jesus said, when I come, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? The context is a lady going before a judge. He told that story, and that judge was an unjust judge and wouldn't do it for her what the law said she had just cause to claim. And she persisted and got it. And God said, now, and Jesus said, now, hear what the unjust judge said. The unjust judge is not a type of God. God is not unjust. He's called throughout the Bible several times the righteous judge of all the earth. That means just. He's not unjust. He's just. He's righteous. He'll not pervert justice for anyone. But the point he's making, because he goes on and says, I say God, whenever his people come to him, will avenge them speedily. Not slow like the unjust judge. He'll do it speedily. But Jesus said, but my point is, when I come back, will I find this kind of faith that persists in claiming what God said he wants to do and receiving it, yes. Believing for it, amen. Watching over that plan with their faith and their prayers. Yes. Will I find that kind of faith? Yes, sir. Paul answered that question. Paul said, in the last days, some shall depart from the faith. Yes, sir. Here's two words I want you to get. Not all. Some will depart. Some, we're in that day where there's some departing from the faith, but not all are departing from the faith. And God will find, you ought to shout here, yes, you will find that kind of faith. Because he said some will, not all. There's always a remnant. You might not understand the remnant, but you're being blessed by the remnant. This nation has what it has today because of the remnant. Not just in our generation, but in previous generations. This nation was going to hell in a handbasket before the Great Awakening back there.
Amen. That's
right. You understand? There's things in this nation you're enjoying because of faith people. So don't talk about us. Be careful. So whenever I come, will I find faith on the earth? You remember whenever Jesus came the first time, he had to find somebody with faith. He found this little maiden girl named Mary. The angel, God said, she's the one, sent angel Gabriel down there. Go down there and you announce to her, she's the one. And so the angel came and announced, you'll conceive, you know, and so forth. How will this be? And the angel said, the Holy Ghost will come on you. That's another thing that surrounds the birth of Jesus. The Holy Ghost came on. Let's put it this way. The Holy Ghost on humanity. He came on Jesus. The Holy Ghost came on Mary to conceive Jesus. Came on John the Baptist in the womb in order to precede Jesus and prepare the way. And he's coming on humanity today to precede his coming again. He's coming on. Remember, Acts said, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Upon my servants and my handmaids, I'll pour out of my spirit in those days. Hallelujah. And then it says the Lord will come. That's part of preparing a people. I'm having a good time this morning. So, but let's keep on moving here. Whenever the angel came to Mary and said, this is going to happen. You'll conceive in your womb. The Holy Ghost will come on you and you'll conceive. And that which is born of you will be from God, not a man. In other words, not a human birth through a human father and so forth. And she said, how should this be? And the angel said, the Holy Ghost will come on you. And then she made this statement that is so profound. Be it unto me according to your word. There's faith. That's why he picked her. Faith. I'm sure because of purity too, you understand. But her faith. Be it unto me according to your word. When God says to you, I have a part for you to play in this last day era. I want you to do this for me. I want you to serve me. I want you to obey me. I want to use you in this way and use you in this way. Whether it's to the fivefold ministry or not. There's many of us that aren't called to fivefold, but God has something for us to do. I've been reading the New Testament for a long time, and I've never found the ministry of pew warmer in the whole New Testament. There's something for us to do. Now, when she said, be it unto me according to your word, that's a key for us. When he says, I want to use you and do something through you, then we should say, be it unto me according to your word. You want to use me in this way? Use me in this area? Use me to prophesy? Use me to do whatever? Here I am. Faith agrees with God's plan. And it also facilitates your part in God's plan. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? When God moved on Anna and Simeon and told them that they wouldn't die until they saw the Christ, they said, I believe that. And they set themselves to prayer. 1 Timothy 1:18 through 19 says that we are with the prophecies that went before us, we're to war a good warfare. When God speaks to you by the Spirit, now he speaks to us in the Word, but also he speaks to us by the Spirit. When he does that, you're to take that. Watch over that with your prayer life. Say, Father, I just make claim on this, and I say this will all come to pass. Amen. Somebody prophesied, I heard Richard Roberts talk about it. Somebody prophesied to him before he got into the healing ministry that he has today with all the revelation gifts, that you will be used in a great way in the healing ministry, and it'll be through revelation gifts, especially the word of knowledge. He stood on that. I forget how long he said he did. He stood on that. He kept on saying, Father, I thank you that this is how you're using me. I thank. And they stood on that. I think it was either months or years. It was quite a period of time. He said, and all of a sudden, bam, it hit. And it's been operating ever since. Amen. See, they didn't just say, well, God said it. We'll twiddle our thumbs and just kind of stand around and watch for it to happen. No, they participated in it by warring a good warfare. And the King James goes on to say, by holding on to our faith. Take what God said to you and say it back to him. Yes. That's the weapons of your warfare against the enemy. He keeps trying to tell you, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You just keep thwarting the enemy. See, the enemy's trying to thwart God's plan. You keep thwarting him by saying, no, it's coming to pass. It's called fighting the good fight of faith. And we got to get beyond just fighting a good fight of faith for a new car, a new house, or something else. How about fighting a good fight of faith for the plan of God in the earth?
Amen.
the outpouring of the Spirit. Signs and wonders and miracles and visions like happened in the first coming of Jesus. Praise the Lord. When I come back, will I find this kind of faith in the earth that's contending for this, that stands in, on what God said and speaks it. Speaks what God said to your heart by the Spirit. I got many things listed out that I say. Many things are so holy and private, I don't say them publicly. Amen. So, Luke 18:8, when I come back, will I find this kind of faith on the earth? Somebody say yes.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. This is why, in fact, why we've heard so much about faith in the last 40 years of the body of Christ. Because it's going to take this to get Jesus back into the earth.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. To get the rain, to get the harvest. Like I said, Jesus didn't just pop into the earth. Somebody prophesied it. And then somebody believed it. Amen. What's God saying about our day? What did God say through modern day prophets? It's all in line with the Word. My brother Hagin prophesied over and over again about the greatest move of the Spirit is just ahead. Smith Wigglesworth prophesied the same thing. Lester Summerall prophesied the same thing. Oral Roberts prophesied the same thing. He had a vision not too long before he died and saw a huge move of the Spirit. It overwhelmed him. He didn't get to get in on it. Well, guess who's still here? Someone said, yeah, God's been saying that a long time. Yeah, and he's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. Hallelujah. Now go to Isaiah 62. And we're wrapping this up here. Isaiah. This is one of our ways to participate with God in this. It says in verses 6 and 7, I have set watchmen upon the... Well, for time's sake, let's just read the Amplified. I have set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, who shall never hold their peace day nor night, who shall, as his servants and by your prayers... You who are his servants and by your prayers, put the Lord in remembrance of his promises... Keep not silence. Hallelujah. And give him no rest until he establish Jerusalem and make her a praise in the earth. Amen. Well, if God promised it, why do we have to keep reminding God of it? Because it's up to us whether it happens down here or not. God says, I want to do something. I want you to pray. Here he calls them watchmen. God has set you and I as watchmen over this last day era.
Yes. Amen.
You say, I didn't know that. Well, you know it now.
Amen.
We are established in the church for such a time as this. Remember, God said to Esther, you are set in the kingdom for such a time as this. Why are you and I here? Is it just so we can have nice cars and suits and houses and so forth? That's the benefits. We get those benefits too. But that's not the purpose. There is a purpose. The purpose is God's plan. Hallelujah. And it's much bigger than just us. It's about souls. It's about people. It's about harvest. It's about the signs and wonders that gets their attention. Because right now, their attention is not on the church. Whoa. Amen. We like Jesus whenever he was here on the earth. Before he went to heaven, he watched over God's plan when he was here. Amen. Now, the previous generation watched over God's plan in the earth in their time. Mary, Simeon, Anna, Joseph. And then all through history, church history. And whenever it got to Jesus, he watched over it. And then he said, I'm going, but there's another one coming. And he's saying, it's on you now. So Peter, Paul, James, John, they watched over it.
Yes.
A lot of things were lost in the dark ages, but then Martin Luther.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. The Pentecostal revival, the holiness revival, the healing revival, the charismatic revival, the word of faith teaching revival. Well, where are we now? That's all behind us. Now, we haven't done away with holiness. We haven't done away with the gifts of the Spirit, done away with healing or anything that God moved in the earth to bring back into the earth, but he's continuing to move forward, and his plan is progressive, and we're to progress with it. So they watched over it in their generation. Now it's on us to watch over what God's doing in our time. Only we can do it now. They can't. They are now in heaven. They can't do it now. We are here. We have to do it now. That's why God needs laborers. He needs every one of us to step up. Step up. And do our part. What does it mean to watch? It means to be paying attention in the spirit realm. Giving yourself to the spirit realm. Watchman is a person who keeps guard over something. If I tell you to guard one of these doors, you stand there. I give you authority to do that. And when God says, watch over this plan and this my era and the day you're living in, he gives us the authority to do that. We can say yes or no. You know, we can tell God no. We're interested in our hobbies. We're interested in this. We're interested in that. Well, God will just say, all right, next generation. He's been doing that for a little while here. But it's going to come to pass. Whether it takes somebody else to do it or not, he's going to get it into the earth. And whether it hair lips the devil or not, it's coming to pass. If he has to skip over us to get to it, it'll come to pass. I'm here to say, no, he does not have to skip over us. The devil is not just out killing people, killing marriages, killing businesses. He's out killing churches. He's out killing the plan of God for this era. And we're the ones to say, no, not here. And that includes living right, folks. When we're not interested in spiritual things because we're yielding to the flesh, you are contributing to the enemy's opposition against God's plan. Yeah. And so get it together. Get the lethargic stuff out of your life. Show up on Sunday and Wednesday and be hungry and get on the front row and pray on Saturday night and flow in the Holy Ghost in your prayer life. We need the laborers. We're watchers over it. Amen. People think if it's God's plan, then it'll just come to pass automatically. Hear me carefully. Are you hearing me? Then why wasn't it that way when Jesus came the first time? Why did he have to get Mary to say, be it unto me according to your will? Why did he have to get Simeon and Anna to take what God said was his plan back to him until they saw it come to pass? Why did he, if it was automatic and it could not have been taken out, why did he have to speak to Joseph and say, Herod wants to kill Jesus, take him out of the country for, I think it ended up being 2 years, I believe. Because Herod could have killed him. Huh? He's a man. Jesus came into the earth as a man. He's God in the flesh. You understand he's not just man, but he was a man. He did eventually die. Of course, he gave his life up in that case. Amen. But anyway, people think the plan of God is just automatic. Well, why did Joseph have to guard Jesus' life and take him over into Egypt? I'll tell you why. Because he was one of the watchmen over the plan of God in that day. And he watched over the child Jesus. If he hadn't obeyed those instructions, Joseph would have been responsible for Jesus being killed along with all those other children. Somebody said, no, that wouldn't have happened. Then why did the angel have to come to Joseph and say, get him out of here, get him out of here? It could have. I'm glad Joseph was on the job. 1 Timothy 3:16 says that Jesus was, it says in the King James, seen of angels. It means he was looked after. He was cared for, if you look it up. He was looked to. He was looked after, seen to, you know. Seen of angels. In other words, the angels' ministry in the earth, all the angels singing about his, announcing his birth, the angel guarding Jesus' life. You ought to read the Amplified of the angels whenever they appeared to the shepherds. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It said they were the troops of heaven. These angels are also guards over God's plan. Amen. Jesus was the plan of God at that time. We understand he's still the plan of God, but I'm talking about his natural life on this earth. That was God's plan at that time. Whenever he left, then the outpouring of the Spirit was God's plan on the day of Pentecost and all that in the early days of the church. It was still Jesus, you understand, but he was up there and now we're down here. That's what I mean by, you don't understand the way I say that. So all of that was needing to be watched over. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, what happened to those who became watchmen over that era? They had an increase of activity of the ministry of angels.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. The angels are called, we have this term guardian angels. I don't think that term, if I remember right, is actually in the King James Bible, but it is a scriptural term because the word watchmen, watchers, or watchers, or watcher, and watchmen are used in reference to angels. And that means they watch over God's people, God's plan. You understand? So in preparing for the service today, this is what was on my heart the most, now that I'm out of time. Amen. That was a big ingredient of the first coming of Jesus. A lot. There was a huge spike in angelic activity. The same thing is true right now. A huge spike. Suddenly when Jesus was born, there's a flurry of activity of manifestation of angels. An angel brought the messenger to Mary. An angel appeared to Zacharias in the temple about John's birth, his wife giving birth to John the Baptist, you know. Of course, he doubted it, and God zipped his mouth for a while. Because, you know, angels can't work whenever we speak unbelief. An angel came to the shepherds. An angel appeared to... Actually, Joseph had three dreams and angels appearing to him. Hallelujah. A huge spike in the ministry of angels. Somebody said the star was maybe one of the comets that comes by every now and then. I don't think so, because it said it came and it stood over the place where Jesus lay. I think it was just an angel probably. Guiding them, you know. People are natural-minded so much. Bless their heart. When it comes to the Christmas story, most people don't have a problem with the angels part. They kind of categorize it in with Santa and elves and things like that, you know. But that's fair. Santa and elves are fairy tales. Angels are real. Now, if you don't believe it, wait till one shows up in your house. You'll be asking, where's the Huggies? They're real beings. And they're powerful. I could tell you stories. Anyway, the ingredient that was the increase of the ministry of angels. Hallelujah. Now, when God said to Joseph, you know, don't put her away, because he was going to put her away. She's pregnant out of wedlock, so forth. Don't want to embarrass her. He was going to put her away. And the dream came and said to Joseph in a dream, the angel came and said, no, don't put her away. That which is born of her. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So an angel stopped Joseph from doing away with God's plan for his life. Then whenever I said Herod was trying to kill all the babies to get to Jesus, an angel appeared to Joseph and said, take him over into Egypt until I give you further instructions. Now listen to this. To assist the church in ushering in the second coming of Jesus, there will be a flurry of angelic activity as well, bringing about the miraculous.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Amen.
Those who position themselves to stand guard over God's plan to usher in Jesus' second return position themselves to receive the assistance of the angels, because the angels are also assigned to stand guard over God's plan in the earth. And when you're in line with God's plan, the angels will assist you as you walk out God's plan.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Angels were hard at work on the first during the first coming of Jesus. They appeared to John the Baptist, his father, excuse me, and so forth. Listen to this statement. It seems their primary role was to announce the will of God to those who were key players. I'm not saying, God, I want to be a bigwig. I just want to be a part of this. I just want to be a part of this. That's why I was born. He said, tell my people I'm coming soon. That's why I'm here. I'm not going to go busy hunting and busy funning and goofing. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. So it seems like the ministry of angels, their primary role was to announce the will of God to those who were key players and then move them into it or their part in it. Everything had been spoken through the prophets that needed to be spoken. The timing was right. The people were in place. The circumstances had come together. And the only thing left was faith-filled cooperation by chosen vessels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Joseph didn't even quite know if he wanted to go along with this whole thing. He wanted to put her away and all that. But because he said, all right, I'll take the child and I'll protect the child and I'll care for the child as a stand-in father. He's not the father, you understand. And I'll do all of that. He made himself responsible for the young Messiah's life. And so part of the reward was supernatural assistance all along the way. He had three visions of angels as well as obvious angel handiwork protecting and bringing provision throughout his tenure as standing in to protect the Lord Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It kept this family ahead of destruction. It kept Jesus away from destruction. And you and I as watchers over God's plan today will keep the plan free from destruction. Yes. In these last days, as we stand guard over God's plan and Jesus' second coming in the earth with our faith, we can expect to have increased angelic activity, both seen and unseen. Because they are also assigned to accompany, assist, and protect us as we stand watch over God's plan in the earth. Hallelujah. That's Psalm 91:11 in the Amplified. Accompany, assist, and protect all our ways of obedience and service. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The angels that came in Jesus' first birth were very purposeful. They weren't coming to say, hi, let's have tea. Let's just talk about the weather. How are you doing? They were on assignment. Whenever they would come, they would say, I'm sent from the throne of God. They were on assignment. Amen? They stand guard not just over the key players in this era to bring this in. Listen, if you say, Lord, here am I, you become a key player. But they are also assigned to protect the plan of God, to start stand guard over the plan of God. Don't cross the plan of God in this day. Angels still can deal with that. Amen. Did you get anything out of the word this morning? I told you I was going to cut it short, and I'm 10 minutes short. Hallelujah. I'm all through the Bible. People that stood for God's plan were protected. Daniel was protected. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was protected. Jesus, he was protected. Peter, the angels got him out of jail. Paul, on the ship, an angel came and said, fear not. Why? He's in the plan of God. He's bringing forward. He's forwarding the plan of God. Well, I want to do my own thing and have protection. You might get some mercy for a while, honey, but you better watch out. Amen. Amen. God is long in mercy. But there comes a day he can't protect you in disobedience anymore.